we will continue the struggle for democracy. With that simple and unaltered demand, Bahrainis took to the streets today for the umpteenth time, confirming that the uprising against the Bahraini monarchy and its repressive policies is very much alive. With an international community which implements double and selective standards when it comes to democracy and human rights, in this edition of the debate we'll in part broach the external players and realities and their respective influences on Bahrain and its leadership.
Bahrain is holding another mass protest against the ruling Al Khalifa dynasty. Before the rally, a prominent Bahraini activist said some 200,000 people would turn up for the march in the capital, Manama.
There's going to be a huge protest. We expect around 200,000 people to take part of this protest. 200,000, which means one-third of Bahraini population.
The marchers reiterated their demands in the rally for an end to repression. They condemned what they call continued repression and sham elections in Bahrain.
Today's protest is very important, keeping in mind that it's the first protest after the elections in Bahrain. The government intended to legitimize the continuation of human rights violations, the continuation of the absence of democracy through the so-called elections.
The recent elections in Bahrain were banned by the majority of people in the kingdom, but the government went ahead with its plans to hold the vote.
This government does not have a popular majority, a popular legitimacy from people.
Bahrain has been the scene of almost daily protests against the Al Khalifa dynasty since mid-February 2011, when a pro-democracy uprising began in the kingdom. The Bahraini regime has cracked down on the protests, killing scores of people. Thousands of others have been sent behind bars, with some killed in custody. End the Bahraini regime's repressive tactics to crush dissent. But Western governments such as the United States and Britain have said little against the crackdown. Bahrain is home to the US Fifth Fleet and holds very close ties with Britain.
Let's now introduce our guests for this edition of the debate. We're joined by former Bahraini MP, Mr. Jalal Fayrouz, who is joining us live from London. And we're also joined by the founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane, who is joining us live from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us for this edition of the debate. Mr. Fayrouz, I'd like to start with you. Years into this Bahraini uprising, what does today's protest of 200,000 Bahrainis signify?
Well, the government of Bahrain has tried its utmost pressure on the Bahraini people to stop them from getting out into protests. Of course, every day and night there are protests, there are rallies, and let's say in tens and in hundreds, and they are being very much cracked down. And all the activists have been all along been arrested, detained, tortured. So the major opposition political parties have decided to gather a major popular rally. And today we have seen tens of thousands of people in the streets. Reuters has estimated around 100,000, but of course we believe that there were more than that, and the demand were the same as the demands which were raised 3.5 years ago, and the people have shown that they are not retreating from their demands. They are not afraid of all the atrocities and the killings which have happened until recent, and they are very much continuing their peaceful struggle. The only Arab Spring which is still alive is the Bahraini one, the only Arab Spring which has not been covered by the Western media is the Bahraini protests and the uprising, and the people have only very minor demands. That is just to have an elected government and a very fair judicial system, not like the one which, of course, Amnesty International just last week said that the judicial system is in Bahrain is just for taking revenge of against the political activists. The people are asking for a free and fair electoral system that regains them a free and full representing parliament, not like the one which is now.
Mr. Fergus, if you allow me, I just want to put some of your points there to Mr. Lane, and I will, of course, get back to you. Mr. Lane, I wanted to get your point of view on this from where you're sitting, of course, in the United States in that context. Today's rally could very well be a message to the U.S. as well, couldn't it, considering Bahrain is what it calls a vital ally?
Yes, I believe that's exactly correct. Look, I'm surprised, not only surprised, but impressed with the resilience of the resistance movement in Bahrain. They've been at it over 3 years now, and they're still going strong. Let's even take the lower estimate of the turnout for today's rally, which was 100,000 by Reuters, as opposed to the rally organizers that said it might have been twice that. Even 100,000 is a hugely successful event. I think nobody should feel bad about being able to organize that kind of demonstration against the regime. The circumstances are that they are keeping themselves in the media. They are keeping themselves on the world stage. They had probably a draw. They didn't lose in their effort to boycott the elections last November. And by keeping this issue and by keeping their cause on the world stage and letting people soak in their rather reasonable demands, I think that each day they do get closer to the time when the regime is going to have to give in to some of the things that they're asking for.
Okay, Mr. Fergus, it seems that both of you are in obviously in agreement about the need for this uprising and its needed success at some point. But I'm wondering where you're sitting in the UK and, of course, where Mr. Lane is sitting. Both governments have been criticized for their support of this very Bahraini monarchy, which we are right now criticizing. How do you feel about that?
Well, the people of Bahrain are very, very much frustrated with I'll start with the United States, which Mr. Obama 2 years ago has asked for inclusive dialogue, but which the government of Bahrain have refused to start. The Crown Prince tried to do something, but the hardliners crashed that. But the people of Bahrain are very much furious about the support of the UK government to the dictatorship and how it has aligned itself with the Bahraini authoritarian regime against the people of Bahrain, claiming that there are so-called reforms, which of course even the UK government cannot specify any reform at all. Just 5 days ago in House of Lords and in the Parliament of UK, Mr. Jeremy Corbyn as an MP and the Lord Avebury and also other UK politicians have specified that there are no reforms in Bahrain. There are only repressions against the people, more violation of human rights. All the recommendations and requests from the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva have not been met. all the Bahrain Commission of Inquiry requests have not been taken care of, but still the UK government is backing. We have seen during last month's election how the British ambassador was just like a public relation employee of Bahrain, claiming that this is a new step for the Bahraini government, even though it was total failure. And lots of constituencies that are only show up of 2%, and even the international groups have said that this does not represent the people. But the UK went ahead and established a sea naval base, which is against the wish of the Bahraini people. But it seems that the UK government thinks that the Al Khalifa family are their projects. They brought them to power, and they just want to show the world that their project is successful.
Right, Mr. Lane, I wanted to get the U.S. view then. Is it possible to defend the American stance here? Because, you know, for many people, and I remember reading a headline a while back about this Bahraini uprising, it called it the inconvenient uprising in the U.S. eyes, considering its strategic importance because of the U.S. Fifth Fleet, etc. How is it that a country that wants to spread human rights and democracy in the world can